Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm very grateful to be with you on this October 6th, day 2019. We're going to be looking today at getting caught in the loop of the brain, going around, around, around. We'll talk just a smidgen about that, and it'll hopefully help you. I want to remind you that these radio programs and everything I do, as you know, is supported by your tax-deductible gift. It is only through your contributions, your kindness, your understanding that Aspire is allowed to continue. And I hope that you will become a sponsor. We're in our fundraising drive, our fall fundraising. We do this every year to raise donations that we might be able to continue. And our mystery donor, who is being very generous as always this year, is going to match your donations dollar for dollar and cent for cent, as it were. And we really, really need your support right now. This is a very good time to help us. We're still in the summer months, you know, May, June, July, August, September, even into October. Very tough months for radio. So we need your support, your tax-deductible gift. If you want to make a gift for a year-end donation, that would be lovely. If you want to become a sponsor, that would be lovely as well. Sponsorship is something that people do monthly, quarterly. It allows us to plan a budget, kind of understand where we are, that which is, that which ain't. And on top of all that, the mystery donor will match your either your donation for year end or your donation monthly. Your gift means so much to so many people. It goes out to hospice, my work there. It goes out to our, as I told you yesterday, our new Batmo project. There are so many things you support through your gift, helping children, helping those who are leaving their body, and helping those who are like you, just listening, learning, maybe having some second thoughts about your life, which would really be very good. So if you're interested, please go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. If you go there, you will see the big splash year-end donation. Just take a look. We have a wonderful story that has been built there about easy. Everybody wants life to be easy. Easy, easy, easy peasy. But it never really turns out that way. And I'll explain why in this little video cartoon that we made. Thank you for being generous, and I thank you for even considering the fact of helping Aspire. First question comes from Bernie. He lives in Southern California, he says. I'm in the loop of one bad thought after another, and then one good thought after another, and then one bad thought after another. He said, on and on and on this goes. Is there any way to break the loop? Yeah, well, kind of, sort of, no. First of all, being subjected to our thinking means that I'm being subjected to my genetics, and I'm also being subjected to my biology. I am being subjected to the chemistry of my biology. I would probably predict you're fighting, probably being deeply depressed. That's a big one for most people. Depression is huge, and there's every reason to be depressed if you looked at it in this world and pinging your genetics. We do have that. And then being subservient to all of this also means that you're fighting with your need for survival. The mind is connected directly to our emotionality. And people will say, psiatrists, psychologists will say, first comes your thinking, then comes your emotions. I disagree. First comes your biology, actually, your biological chemistry, the endorphins and your biology that you inherited from your family, which directly connects to your emotionality, which directly then goes to your mind and tells you what the capacity of your thinking is going to be. what kind of thoughts you're going to have, the quality of these thoughts. All are genetically predisposed and have a lot to do with the chemistry of your body. And your brain works out of that chemistry. I'm keeping it really simple right now. It gets very complex, very, very complex. But nonetheless, and less than none, that is what makes your mind go into loops. Now, what do you want to do about loopy-loo here? How are you going to deal with it? The best way to deal with it is directly, but not to fight it. If you confront your mind, you will lose the battle. I have found this in my counseling. I have found it in myself. I have found it in every person I meet that goes through what you're going through. We miss the whole thing because we're so busy trying to fight our thinking, make thoughts go away. I don't know where people get the idea that you can make a thought go away. I don't understand that. You can't make thoughts go away. They're going to be there. They're, as long as you have a body, as Lhasa said, disgrace comes with having a body. As long as you have a body, you're going to have difficulty. So here's what you have to do. You have to examine, first of all, your emotions. What are they doing? And they're giving you impulses from your body and the chemistry of your body to think and believe a certain way. These chemicals cause a reaction in our emotions and then tell us emotionally where we're at, and then fear strikes a chord in us because the emotions not only answer to the body but to the DNA. They want to survive, and that's all it's about is survival, 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 survival. So here's the deal, Bernie. You're not going to like this. You have to give up the idea of surviving. You have to give up the fear of surviving. You have to cross over a line where you see the bigger picture of your life, the huge picture of this life, how big it is, how it works, what happens in it, the meaning of this life. You have to see it for what it is, this picture of life. You have to meditate. You're going to have to learn how to watch your breath and train your mind to no longer go to your emotionality. Take deep breaths in the beginning and then starting to open up your chakras a little bit. You could do heart to hari, where you breathe from your hari, which is your navel, up to your heart, and then release the breath back down into the hari, and up and down and up and down you go. You go very slow. Keep your breath very even, and keep watching your breath. That's how you break the cycle of your mind going from one thing to another, from bad to good, as you put it, and from good to bad over and over and over again, like a ping pong match. If you can learn to focus your breath, your mind on your breath, and just watch your breath, you will start to break the chain of your genetic nature. You'll start to break that thing inside of you that tells you what's right and wrong, what's good and bad. If you practice this enough during the day, you can do it, you know, 5 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 10 minutes there. If you practice it all during the day, you'll set a new precedence for you, the way you live your life, the way of your living, as I call it. And if you can do that, if you are willing to discipline yourself for that, oh, all sorts of wonderful things can happen. You can start to realize the ebb and the flow, the meaning of what it is to no longer be pushed around by your thoughts, by your emotions, by your quote-unquote passions. You can start to see the bigger picture. And in seeing that bigger picture, there is insight to be had. You will start to understand why things come into your life, why things leave, why things are difficult for you, and why they don't have to be so difficult. you can start to deal with your mind, but not as a wrestling match. You won't be confronting it. Remember, if you confront your mind, it will undermine you, as it were. It will take away from the whole exercise I've given to you. You have to be patient. The second part of all of that is you have to be passive towards your thoughts. If you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are towards what I'm teaching you right now, you'd be awakened by now. It's all in the passivity of thoughts. Don't have conversations with them. Don't try to make them important. Don't think they're true either, because a lot of them just aren't true at all, most of them. They may be factual for a while, but they're not true. The truth of your life is yet to be discovered, and that's the beauty of living in the way. So practice this. If you do, then that loop will eventually stop. It will subside. It may always be there in the background, but you won't care because you know how to break it with your breath and to not live emotionally. You can feel emotions, but you don't have to live them, and that's the key. Bernie, I hope that helps you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. It's hard to get people to understand that just because you and I have an emotion doesn't make it true and doesn't make it, the last word in us. We have lots of emotions. Our emotions are about telling us what is dangerous, where danger is, how danger works, that whole thing. They are not the sum and substance of it all. Next one comes from Rich. He does not tell me where he lives. My life is so busy that I have no time for a spiritual practice at all as you have it. Yet I know I should do it and I really need one. How do I overcome this, Rich? Rich, intent is very important. Probably one of the most important things in a spiritual practice is the state of my intent. What do I intend to do? How do I intend to live my life? What is the intent of anything I do? Now, if it is to have a better life, a more productive life, where I have more money and stuff, that's another story altogether. And that has nothing to do with what I'm going to say to you, okay? So, yes, you know you need one, but a spiritual practice is a way of life. It is not a technique in your lifestyle. It is a way of life. It is how you and I approach our living. And no one ever taught us how to approach our living. We just watched as children our parents do it. And we assumed the role of genetics, and then we went into the genetics and started becoming genetically predisposed to a life where those traits became very, very inclusive. Now we have joined the family, and that seems to be very important to people, not individuality. Not, there really isn't any such thing as individuality, but we'll just use that word, individuality, meaning separate from the whole of humanity. We just don't care about any of that. We want to fit in, we want to be special, and we want a life on our terms. Well, you didn't come here into this world to have life on your terms. You could, and that's what most people are doing. You came here, believe it or not, whether you know it or not, for very specific reasons. Things to overcome within yourself. Things to deal with within yourself. The practice of meditation is the practice of loving kindness. The practice of living not strategically, but lovingly. What people don't get and what people basically don't believe is that this whole planet is about love. Everything you and I do is about a quality of love. a depth of love. And it is love that we are trying to achieve here, not survival. And it is only in love that we live. It is in fear that we survive. And that's why the world is the way it is, because there's so much fear. We fight and hate and do cruel things with each other because we don't understand the meaning of love itself. We don't have any respect for love. We think people love us, but that's not true. Love has nothing to do with people. It has to do with the state of my authentic heart and whether or not I'm going to live in that authentic heart beyond the ideals of my emotionality and the fears of my emotionality. People love out of fear. They're afraid to be alone, so they love people that, well, maybe they shouldn't love, as it were. People do all sorts of crazy things with love, never really understanding the state of love and what love really means to them, to anyone. And when you've never had a taste of love, when you've never had that incredible feel of love, so many things are lost in the course of a lifetime. So many. I can't even begin to tell you. I didn't know what I was missing until I found the presence within me. You have that presence within you. It is absolutely magnificent and it is truly beautiful. But what do we do with it? How far do we go with it? What is that presence? You can't know these things with your mind. Spiritual awakening is a divine accident. It doesn't happen deliberately. It happens kind of by accident. You may be deliberate in your practice. That is true. But after you go along for a while, all of a sudden, what I call the divine accident occurs. Something awakens within you. This awakening is magnificent. Some switch turns on, and you start to see the futility of living as a human being, caught in the whole idea, the digression of living in this world and allowing the world to live in you. You learn how to live in this world when you're in a practice, but not let the world live in you. Something else lives in you. My students and I are working together on this whole thing of awakening to the soul. It is an amazing adventure. Really, it is. And we're doing it at Mount Madonna and workshops. But it isn't for the public. It really isn't anything that the general public could ever appreciate nor understand, because it entails a whole lifestyle that is different from the one that you're probably living. So, Rich, you're living in the idea of success and wanting success, wanting things to be easy due to money. But in the end, you're going to find out that that won't work. That is not the way, the light, the truth, or any of it. Eventually, that breaks down. Your body is subject to all of that as well, and it will break down. So you have to ask yourself, what is the meaning of my existence? What is the meaning of love? What is the meaning of anything and everything? Well, you have to find that out. You have to persevere through silence. Silence is the answer to everything. But silence is not just quiet around your ears. Silence is the way you carry yourself within. It's how you live within yourself. Hence, it becomes how you live in the world, and it becomes your lifestyle. Simplicity, keeping your life simple. Solitude, staying with that simplicity and what it leads to without complication and desire, ambition, and pride. And then the silence, the voice of your living is silence. When you live in that, everything is realized. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, without you even understanding that it's even happened, a profound change begins to occur. And we start to awaken. And this awakening is one of the most beautiful things you will ever have in your life, Rich. Now, for a person who is probably over the top in money and pleasuring and all the other things that people like, gratifications, it's going to be hard, if not impossible. You know, sometimes we just go too far, and our life is the loop of wanting one thing to pleasure us, then another, and pretty soon then that gets very boring and blah, 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 and we just go on and on with this silliness, and we never really awaken. So it's going to take a Herculean effort on your part, Rich. You're going to have to really work at this, and I don't know you at all, so I don't know if you have the chops to do it, but I hope you do. And if you just even listen to this radio program, and I plant a seed, maybe in the next life, who knows? Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Larry. He does not tell me where he lives either. And he says, help me out of this world. I hate it, Larry. The world isn't the issue. It's the world within you that's the issue. The difficulty you are having is how you have made your life the world within you. And I don't know exactly what's bugging you. Evidently, it's something pretty important. If I were you, Larry, I would take a deep look at what I value, what I believe in. I would look at what is right and wrong, good and bad to me. But the bigger picture is how I think this all should work out. How do you think your life should work out? How do you think your life should be? What is your concept of living? That's what you need to look at. And, of course, I don't know you. You're not sitting in front of me. There's no way I can help you journal or do any of this until you are ready to take a look at how you think life should be. What is your idyllic idea of life? And I guarantee you it's probably not real and can't be done and is silly. And maybe you think everything should be just rosy, peachy keen all the time and no problems whatsoever. And if you were doing this right, you wouldn't have any problems, that kind of thing. And all of that would be terribly wrong. That is not the life. So I want you to just take a look at your life for a moment or two. Every day you should look. What is it that I believe this thing should be about? Why am I so unhappy about this thing called my life? What am I doing with my daily life? How does that work in my daily living? What am I trying to achieve every day? What am I not achieving? How do I, quote unquote, experience myself? Really look at that. How do you experience you? And if you get that, if you understand that, then something of the other shore might be able to sneak up on you and give you some insight. Everybody gets insight. Ask for dreams to help you. That's a wonderful way of doing it. And maybe you're susceptible to dreams. Maybe you can find out what's going on in that unconscious cranium of yours and maybe find a way. You need therapy. And if you don't find it, you're going to be miserable. I wouldn't want that to happen. You need therapy. You need inner work. And the fact of the matter that you're asking, you know, the question, how do you get out of this world, is kind of an important question. I hope it's not a literal one, if you know what I mean. Thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Thank you for a wonderful weekend. I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back on the air next weekend. I hope you'll join us. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste.